This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, and you can call in and talk live to us with whatever is on your mind. The us in studio tonight is Daryl.
I'm Laurel.
And Jackie.
And apparently, it's not Rome that's burning. Apparently, Paris is burning because of some riots that happened. Like, there's not a lot that I will say about the Franks, but they do know how to throw a good riot. And this one apparently has something to do with some kind of fuel tax.
Yeah, there were about 5,000 demonstrators went to the nation's capital to protest the fuel tax, and it turned violent.
And they protested that by lighting stuff on fire and presumably fueling that fire with gas that they paid tax on.
And they're also asking for the president of France to resign.
Okay. So, well, what are the details
here?
Well,
the president of France wanted the extra tax to convince people to use other modes of transportation. This has to do with climate change. And the protesters were saying that the president wasn't paying attention to the concerns of the average people. They need to be able to get around. They have day-to-day concerns, and he wasn't paying enough attention to those.
All right. So let me sort of, I guess here, play presidential advocate, which I don't do very often, but don't presidents generally have more important things to do than pay attention to every individual person in their country's daily concerns?
Well, this is a lot of people, and this is a common concern for anybody, is how much you're paying for tax. Also, it is a little different in places like France. Their federal government, because it's a smaller country, is not as decentralized as in the United States, so their federal government is going to have a lot more control. It's a combination of federal and state. So when there's something like this, it's going to in fact affect the entire citizenry.
Now, I'm normally against taxes, most taxes, but I am a Georgist, or geolibertarian would be the modern Georgist. And so fuel taxes, gasoline taxes, is actually one of the taxes I approve of. Because when you are burning, you know, fossil fuels to fuel your vehicle, you are creating an externality that is impacting the climate. And if there is no tax to internalize that externality you're putting into the market, then you're basically going around messing up everybody's air, and they're basically subsidizing you. So gasoline taxes are one way to actually make the market operate fairly, instead of overproducing pollution and underproducing competing forms of transportation, because basically everyone else is subsidizing your ability to drive.
And I know that there are some people that like to claim that a fuel tax is a user fee. And if all things were equal, meaning that everybody's automobiles got the same fuel mileage, then maybe it could be a user fee. But when you look at, you know, let's say some poorer areas where people aren't able to afford Priuses or some other form of a hybrid or some really nice fancy car that gets 30, 40, 50 miles to the gallon, then it becomes a regressive tax to where the poorer people are paying a much higher percentage of that tax because they're only getting 15 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, and that's true, and it depends on what behavior you are trying to internalize the externality. If you're trying to use a gas tax to fund roads, then yes, the amount of gas used is not necessarily...
That's the claim, is that fuel taxes pay for roads.
And I'm saying in this case where he said he was doing it because of climate change, then the actual appropriate thing to tie the cost to would be the miles, but would be the gallons of gasoline burned, because that's what's actually affecting the climate. If you're trying to charge a gas tax to pay for roads, then people with electric cars who buy no gas use those roads. It's not actually tied to the usage of the roads. But if you're trying to tie it to things like climate change, air pollution, etc., then the amount of gallons of gas you burn is pretty close. Like, you know, there's going to be some variance in how much your car filters out. But that actually, you know, from a cost accounting perspective, you've actually found the driver of the cost there.
I think there's an issue with, even if you say, okay, so some tax is going to be okay, the question becomes, well, how much?
Right.
When does it become out of control? Right now in France, they are paying $5.50 a gallon for gas, which is a lot more than we
do. Is that the tax that's $5.50 a gallon?
That's the total price. I believe that's the price of the gas plus the tax.
Because it wouldn't surprise me if that was the tax, because I know in, you know, states like New York, the tax on a pack of cigarettes is the same as what a pack of cigarettes cost in a bunch of other states.
Well, if we presume that their usual costs would be comparable to ours or close to ours, then it is still going to be like...
Right, and they also,
you know,
sell it by the liter instead of by the gallon,
yeah, this is by
because,
the gallon.
You know, like, they're
metric.
French, and they use the metric system, which, in their defense, basically everybody but the Americans use the metric system, and I think there's one other country, like Sri Lanka, maybe... There's only like one or two other countries other than the U.S. that don't use the metric system.
I hate the metric system. I hate it because the paper doesn't fit right in all of my stuff. Because sometimes I get papers from other countries because I do immigration law.
Oh, you get like A4.
And then nothing, like it doesn't fit right. So I hate the metric system. I just had to throw that in there.
Well, I think back to the tax, amount, I think... It totally depends on what you're trying to achieve from an economic standpoint. So if you're trying to achieve air pollution, the most libertarian way to go about that and the most economically efficient way to go about that would be a cap and trade scheme where you have actual...
Where Al Gore controls...
No. Where
something.
You have actual ecologists, scientists who know what they're doing, figure out this is the carrying capacity of pollution for this particular area. And we go, okay, that's the cap. That's as much as the environment can process. And now we're going to auction off the right to pollute that much. And so in this case, the fuel companies selling to that area would be the ones paying for that and then passing that on to consumers. And it wouldn't be a tax that you're paying at the pump. It would be something that the pollution company, fuel companies paid for in advance. Then there would be a second tax you might consider if you are a Georgist like me and you consider the earth and all its resources rightfully belong to all of us in common, then natural resource extraction would be something that by itself, pollution aside, would be something reasonable to charge an additional tax on because that is people compensating the rest of society for privately using something that belongs to everybody.
Well, I have two issues with this. One of them is even when what the government wants to do starts off as a good idea, sometimes they sort of run away with it. And what began as a good idea turns into something else. So there's always the danger of that occurring. And then the other issue is with a lot of the pollution, et cetera, especially when you're looking at climate change and total carbon output into the environment, if only some countries are doing it and then other countries are not, and they're just pumping out and pumping out and pumping out carbon, then it doesn't solve the problem, and the people who are trying to do something about it suffer from it, from trying to fix it when it's not going to get fixed because not everybody's on board.
Right, and this is one of the, I guess, biggest concerns that I hear raised about some sort of cap and trade mm-hmm. is, what is it, China and a couple of other mm-hmm. Asian countries that have these growing economies. They're doing a lot of pollution, but... We need Al Gore running something in the U.S. to prevent everybody except for General Motors and the EPA from polluting stuff. And somehow that will wind up offsetting what China and I think India.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is with pollution in general, there's what economists call a J-curve if you look at the status of the environment. So basically, as an economy starts to develop, it will become more polluted. So the environmental quality goes down. But as the economy develops more, people actually voluntarily or through regulation both choose to live in a cleaner environment and they can now afford to do it because they're no longer meeting just basic survival needs. And you see that environmental quality actually goes up. And this has happened around the world over and over and over again as economies have developed.
It's happened over and over again in democracies, but it's a different type of government in China. China. Are we sure the same thing is going to happen over there?
China technically is a democracy, and we can get into technicalities on what is and what isn't a democracy. If you want to say they're a free country, they're definitely not, but they do get to vote, which by definition makes them a democracy. Your calls and thoughts welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live.
What is it costing you in vet bills for that convenience of just pulling open a bag of
formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits that cost a ton of money anyways?
How do you feed your dog to derive not only energy, but a good coat, bright eyes, and a great attitude?
Come to Dinovite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
I found his raw meat diet on Dinovite.com.
With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dinovite and the Super Omega on top of it.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Buy two, get one free.
Ground beef, white rice, eggs, including the shells, and the Dinovite supplement, and then the Lico Chops.
Try Lico Chops. Buy two, get one free.
It just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit.
Adding Dinovite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
Their skin is so much better now that they're on the raw diet. I don't even give them the kibble anymore.
DINOVITE.com.
Are you a cryptocurrency advocate? The Crypto Tip is the ideal outreach tool to help new people discover cryptocurrency. It's a printable business card-sized tip that you can give to service providers, preferably in addition to a good cash tip. When the server scans the QR code, it'll bring up an explanation of cryptocurrency, how to install a wallet, and allow them to claim the tip. If they don't claim the crypto, you get your tip refunded to you after a time period you specify. Plus, if they do claim the tip, you get an email alert. Create as many tips as you want at CryptoTip.org. That's CryptoTip.org.
Bitcoin.com is delighted to announce their latest partnership with the gift card specialists at eGifter. With many of the world's leading brands on their roster, it is now easier than ever to get the gift cards of your favorite brands with Bitcoin Cash. To get started, just follow these simple steps. Visit giftcards.bitcoin.com, pick the gift card you want, follow the instructions on your screen, and make your payment using your Bitcoin Cash wallet. Sit tight and your gift card will be delivered to you as soon as it's ready. That's giftcards.bitcoin.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Yeah! This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. That's the toll-free call-in line for how you can call in and join us and bring up whatever is on your mind. There's also the Discord call-in lines available over at discord.lrn.fm, and there's a lot more to Discord other than just the call-in lines. All kinds of chat rooms, both audio and just typing words. Several of the hosts are in there, some during the breaks, some maybe that aren't on the air being in there during the show, and a lot of other interesting characters. We'll get back into the discussion about sort of the environment and what are some libertarian solutions, and is a tax the best way to wind up handling that? But first, I want to tell you about a way that you can actually protect your home and your property, and that would be with the Blink security camera system. The Blink cameras are motion-activated HD cameras that are wire-free. They set up fast, and the batteries last up to 2 years. And Blink's live feed option lets you monitor what's happening at your home anytime, anywhere from your smartphone. No contracts, no subscriptions, and Blink works with Alexa. Alexa, check my security cameras. Get your Blink cameras starting at, or rather your camera system starting at less than $100. Visit blinkprotect.com/FTL. That's blinkprotect, all one word, blinkprotect.com/FTL. So we got into a discussion about the purpose of fuel taxes, because there's a riot
there's a riot in Paris. Yeah, and in some European countries, the taxes on the fuel represent 75% of the price of the gasoline. So you have to start to wonder, this has been going on for a while.
Right.
Has it had an effect? Have we stopped climate change? If it's not doing any good, isn't it just making life difficult for the common people?
Right, and one thing that is also sort of interesting. So in addition to the tax, at least here in the United States, and I'm guessing several other countries as well, there's the subsidized corn ethanol that is being added to the fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So you're subsidizing something for people to use, and then you're taxing it after they use the thing that you're encouraging them to use. It's really, really strange.
Mm-hmm. But what were you thinking, Jackie, in terms of some libertarian solutions to climate change?
Oh, well, I just wanted to make one note that climate change and the amount of carbon dioxide put into the environment is not the only issue with burning gasoline. There's actually quite a bit of particulate matter, PM10 and PM2.5, and numerous carcinogens that are put out when you burn gasoline that are adverse to human health. So there's other reasons to want to discourage the burning of gasoline. Even if climate change was not an issue, there's significant externalities to human health, and unfortunately, I don't have it at the tips of my fingertips because this is something that I worked on many years ago. But I used to work for the air quality science department at a research institute, and it was something like living within 50 or 100 feet of a major road, like an arterial, was the health equivalent of smoking a couple packs of cigarettes a day in terms of the impact on your lung health and the impact on children with asthma. So I know that people argue a lot about the science of climate change, but I don't think anybody argues whether or not asthma is real or whether or not lung cancer is real. And so just climate change aside, there's still tremendous, tremendous externalities from burning gasoline to human health of the people in the immediate vicinity, and most in the amount that, at least in the United States, I think that people pay for gasoline does not reflect those externalities that they're basically poisoning the air of the people around them, and they're not compensating these victims.
Would there not be a better way, though, to deal with this that would encourage the market to be more creative instead of simply taxing the people? For example, having cars maybe compete and have a prize if they have lower emission standards. When I used to work in the European Parliament, and I was living in Brussels at the time, which is where it is. And the air quality there at the time, this is 20 years ago, was just awful. All the sides of the buildings were all black, and it's because of the emissions from their cars, even though they had really high taxes on their gasoline. And one of the differences was in the United States, we had emission standards, and they had taken a different approach and simply taxed the gasoline, and they weren't looking at emission standards.
Yeah, that's why I actually prefer cap and trade as a means to controlling air pollution than just a straight up tax. Because a straight up tax, you could put out an infinite amount of air pollution as long as people are willing to pay the tax. Mm-hmm. Cap and trade, you have hopefully scientists, although we do know that there's possible regulatory capture by industry and lobbyists, but hopefully you have scientists putting together the standard of how much of this pollutant we can have in the air, that's the cap, and then you're auctioning it off. And so that way, you know, the price can just keep going up. You create a market for the right to pollute up to this amount, and that's where you give people incentives to clean up. And places where they've done limited cap and trade on air pollution, power companies have come in and like, oh, we're already at cap. They'll buy up a bunch of old cars off the road and junk them so they can put in a power plant.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't you also, and just answer briefly if you can, then we'll go to the phones, but wouldn't that also sort of encourage in some kind of way certain companies to just, you know, move overseas to a country that isn't using a cap and trade?
Yeah, I mean, but we have that right now where companies are encouraged to move overseas to any country that has lower environmental and, you know, labor protection standards as we are in the U.S.
I think it's hard for a power company to move to another country, except maybe Mexico, but they're not going to have better luck in Canada.
Yeah.
I know that there are, you know, some power companies that are importing electricity from Canada. I don't know how it happens. Let's go to the phones. We've got Tom calling in from New Hampshire. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah, you got to remember that the government is the major cause of carbon monoxide emissions and car usage. When you take a look at the war on walkers, how, you know, they tax everybody and spend the money plowing snow onto the sidewalks to make way for persons who matter. They plow snow onto the sidewalks, and they repave streets that don't have sidewalks. They put up traffic lights without crosswalk lights. And then they impose outrageous zoning restrictions to prevent people from living closer to where they can work and shop and gather to drink together. And then they go out and require parking lots. You know, if you want to build an apartment house, oh, 10 units, okay, then you have to put in a parking lot with 17 spaces. That way people don't have an incentive to take the bus because they still have to pay for that parking lot anyway. And you take a look at how the intense hostility, I mean, you finally manage to find a job where you can get a paycheck, and your paycheck is drawn on a bank that's closed. Oh, but the drive-up window is open for persons who matter. You're walking home, you're lucky to find white paint marking a crosswalk. But when the freight train is crossing the street, oh, now the people who could get killed are persons who matter, persons who are in cars. So lights flash, bells clang, and gates drop to protect the persons who are in cars, persons who matter.
Tom, thank you for the call. Your calls and thoughts welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Your thoughts on pollution?
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The EU has called on Russia and Ukraine to act with utmost restraint to de-escalate the situation in the Black Sea. Ukraine says that three of its ships have been seized by the Russian Coast Guard, including two that were fired upon and two crew members were wounded. Russia has blamed Ukraine for preparing and orchestrating provocations. Financial analyst Hillary Kramer believes that the retail sector has weathered the worst for 2018 and should have strong holiday sales results.
We've already had the fallout. We've already seen some of these tragic bankruptcy filings. Sears, Claire's, or Toys R Us. But I think that we're going to see some of those stalwarts hang on and maybe even have a better 2018 when they report their sales.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
What's on your bucket list? Running a marathon, hiking to the top of a mountain, or maybe surfing? What if I told you you can accomplish all of it at any age? This is Wayne Allen Root, and I'd like to introduce you to somebody that's changed my life, made me feel years younger, maybe saved my life, my Cenogenics physician, Dr. Bob Letta.
Thanks for the introduction, Wayne. At Cenogenics, we help people look and feel many years younger. We've been in business since 1997. We have locations across the United States, and we've treated over 35,000 patients worldwide. Our age management medicine is proven to work. On the Cenogenics program, you will have your own doctor, exercise counselor, and nutritionist all working together to fine-tune plans especially for you.
Thank you, Dr. Letta. I'm 57 and I feel like I'm 30 again. I feel the best of my life. I have the most energy of my life. Are you ready to start feeling the best of your life? Defy your age with Cenogenics. Call now for your free consultation at 888-YOUNGER. That's toll-free 888-YOUNGER. Or go to Cenogenics.com.
Childhood is full of wonder, and we get the chance to relive it with our grandchildren every day. But imagine missing special moments with a grandchild or seeing them through cloudy vision. The Foundation Fighting Blindness can help by providing valuable information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and older, but it doesn't have to be. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is driving research and saving sight by providing information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Don't miss a moment of your grandchildren's youthful wonder because of poor vision. Learn more about vision-saving preventions and treatments. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org where you can find so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today. That number again is 1-800-BLINDNESS or fightblindness.org.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. That is the toll-free call-in line. It's how you can call in and join us and bring up whatever is on your mind in studio tonight. It's Daryl.
I'm Laurel.
And Jackie.
And don't forget, you can also, if you don't want to just hear our voices, you want to see our faces. And also our Christmas tree that Jackie put up a couple nights ago that currently has one ornament hanging on it. You can do that over at Twitch, twitch.lrn.fm. And then there's also other things that go up there. So whenever there's another show being produced live out of the studios here, that's on the Twitch. Occasionally there's the Jazzy Cam.
That's
Jazzy
the most
is the
part.
Studio beast. And sometimes that is turned on. Other times it is not. Depends on whether Jazzy is laying in her comfy bed or whether it's nighttime and nobody's up and so all the lights are off. But lots of stuff, and sometimes people play video games. Twitch.lrn.fm. Jackie, there was something that you wanted to respond to
Tom,
who had called in.
Yeah, so he was talking about government being the biggest polluter. That's definitely true in the U.S. The U.S. federal government is probably the biggest polluter in the world. But
yes.
Then he went on to talk about the war on walkers and zoning issues. And the great news is, to Tom or anyone else...
When you say walkers, you're not talking about the zombies from...
pedestrians.
Night of the Living Dead, or what's the one with the guy, Norman Reedus?
What's that one?
The Walking Dead. You're not talking about that.
And we're not talking about the White Walkers.
We're not talking about White Walkers
Living, alive human pedestrians, the war on them, that varies tremendously from place to place because that is almost entirely a local government issue, which means the good news is that individuals actually have an opportunity to impact that. Right where we live here, Keene, New Hampshire, they're in the middle of doing a comprehensive rewrite of their land use regulations for the first time in 50 years, and some of us in the local libertarian community have been going to the downtown zoning meetings to express concerns, and one of the ones that I brought up was a lot of times the type of zoning regulations they want to have downtown, and they talked about preserving the character of downtown, they want to have all these like cute little boutique, you know, locally owned retail shops and all these expensive frou-frou restaurants. And
Sounds good.
Yeah, well, the thing is they basically want downtown to be a playground for the upper class, but the people who actually work at these jobs are making minimum wage, they can't afford to live downtown. And ironically, I had to leave the meeting early to go pick up a friend from a couple miles away and drive her to work downtown because she can't afford to live near her job. And so a lot of times people come in and they say, oh, we want to have these zoning regulations and these architectural standards and whatnot to make our downtowns look pretty. And they don't think about the fact that this really hurts the working poor who need to work down there.
Right.
And can't afford to drive cars all over the place and would like to walk to work. So
right, and
get involved in your local zoning committees and zoning commissions and go to those meetings. Like, find out where they are and go and speak up.
According to Walk Score, Keene is the third most walkable city in New Hampshire and one of the like top five in New England, and we still have problems with people that don't live near one of the bike paths or they live on a road where there's not a sidewalk and runs into that situation that you're talking about where somebody just a mile outside of the city, which normally should be, or a mile from where they work, should be walkable, but they're on a major road.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like a state road that has no sidewalk.
Yeah, and a big part of the reason that people have to be pushed out there is there's height restrictions.
Right.
Now, sometimes height restrictions make sense if, you know, that's as high as the local fire equipment can put out a fire, or that's the maximum capacity of the sewer system under that block. Like, height restrictions aren't completely arbitrary, but a lot of them are just like, I like my view the way it is. And then the thing he mentioned about the minimum number of parking spaces, my whole family's back in the Seattle area, and that's a big part of what's driving the housing crisis in Seattle, is they have so many requirements for building apartment buildings, and one of them is a minimum number of parking spaces per unit when these are going in downtown where most people take transit.
Right, and we were talking about this a couple of months ago when the Seattle City Council was voting on, and luckily they wound up ultimately rejecting the so-called Amazon tax.
Well, actually, they voted it in, and then my brother and several other people started a city initiative to put on the ballot to repeal it, and then they voted it out.
Right. I remembered that, you know, they voted it out, but it looked like it was going to go through.
It got passed and then it got repealed like within a month.
Yeah, I thought it was within like, you know, 1 or 2 weeks of when they had the original meeting. But, you know, it's something that they ultimately wound up rejecting. And, yeah, it was going to basically wind up taxing Amazon and a couple other companies that have headquarters in Seattle. And somehow the city council was blaming Amazon for the homeless problem when, no, Amazon is hiring people and paying them good money. It's your regulations that are causing people to not be able to live in Seattle.
I mean, Amazon is indirectly contributing in that as they bring more people in with their jobs, they are, you know, if you think of supply and demand curves in your head, they are shifting the demand curve up.
Houses available.
Yeah.
But that's not Amazon's fault.
No, well, Amazon was contributing to the supply curve shifting up. The city council is what was contributing to the, Amazon was contributing to the demand curve.
Right.
But the city council's restrictions on housing is what was contributing to the supply curve not being able to shift as fast as the demand curve. If you want to visualize supply and demand, you know, I wish this was a TV show and not a radio show, and I'd be up on a whiteboard, you know, drawing pictures now.
So basically what Amazon was doing would have been fine had the government not basically interfered and made it so it wasn't fine.
Yeah, it's local zoning things. Exactly. As the demand for housing went up, which if supply stays the same, is going to push the price up. Suppliers, developers, and landlords, and even homeowners renting out extra rooms in their house, the market would respond to that by going, oh, hey, I'm getting a premium now to provide housing, so I'm going to go and put more housing out on the market. But between regulating, like, whether, and it's not even just big apartment developments, it's really hard to get approval to remodel your house to create, like, a basement apartment or a garage apartment or some other sort of mother-in-law apartment in Seattle. A lot of people in the area just do it illegally. Like, I lived in an illegal basement department or apartment once, and yeah, okay, all the power to our apartment would go out if we ran the vacuum cleaner and anything else at the same time. So, like, we totally knew this thing wasn't up to code. But they just make it so difficult for people to get the necessary permits, inspections, et cetera, to take single-family homes and turn them into multifamily homes. Or they say, oh, you're not zoned for that. You can't do that here. So it's not even needing to have developers with a ton of capital and financing put up a new, you know, 300-unit apartment building. Just making it easier for single-family homeowners to, you know, turn a garage or an attic or a basement or cut off part of their house.
So this is what I meant about sometimes the government does things with the best of intentions. That all the rules that they were creating that you're describing in terms of the zoning and making sure things are up to code and all of those codes, each rule by itself makes sense. But all of them all together are too overwhelming, and it has a negative impact, an unintended negative impact that they didn't think about, that is causing more problems than the problems they were, all of those rules were meant
to avoid.
Or
maybe they did think about it and they just decided, we really don't want apartment buildings in this area, so we're going to make all of these rules that effectively prohibit. It doesn't, you know, specify apartment buildings are not allowed, but it just effectively does not allow them to be built.
The point that I was making is that even if a rule looks good on the surface, and even if that law by itself makes sense, seems to be with the best of intentions, it may still not be worth the negative consequences.
Yes. And Jackie, I think you've got something that you want to say about that we'll get into here in just a moment, plus your calls and thoughts. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. Your calls and thoughts welcome about whatever is on your mind.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help. Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite. Pick up 2 bottles of LicoChops, get the 3rd bottle free. New improved LicoChops with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E, and now 6 extra direct-fed microbials. Even better for the digestive tract and immune system. And dogs love it. Try LicoChops. Buy 2, get 1 free. This is Henry Lukasevic for Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
Are you a cryptocurrency advocate? The Crypto Tip is the ideal outreach tool to help new people discover cryptocurrency. It's a printable business card size tip that you can give to service providers, preferably in addition to a good cash tip. When the server scans the QR code, it'll bring up an explanation of cryptocurrency, how to install a wallet, and allow them to claim the tip. If they don't claim the crypto, you get your tip refunded to you after a time period you specify. Plus, if they do claim the tip, you get an email alert. Create as many tips as you want at cryptotip.org. That's cryptotip.org.
Attention parents and grandparents, have you ever wanted to give a gift that would have lasting value and provide spiritual benefits long after Christmas is over? A gift you could even call an investment in the next generation? If so, this is going to be the single most important message you'll hear this holiday season. Hi, I'm Bill Hyde, and I want to tell you about an exciting gift, one you can give your kids or grandkids that's going to teach Christian history, build up their faith, provide extraordinary role models, and it's all done with a distinctive Christian worldview. I'm talking about the award-winning Movies for the Mind CD sets based on the extraordinary adventures of G.A. Henty audio series. series. The best part? You can finally give a Christian gift to the kids that's not boring, dull, or cheesy. The audio adventures also build vocabulary, focus, and attention span. But they're not sold in stores, and you can't get the adventures at any big internet retailers either. So to learn more, even get below wholesale pricing and a whole bunch of Christmas bonuses, go to GiveTheAdventure.com. That's GiveTheAdventure.com. The perfect gift for kids of all ages from 6 to 100. Go to GiveTheAdventure.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can call in and bring up whatever's on your mind. We're talking about zoning and regulations, specifically regulations at sort of a local level, and how they wind up mostly having a negative impact, even though when there's good intentions. It's Daryl, Jackie, and Laurel in studio tonight. And Laurel, in the last segment, you mentioned something about the sort of the accumulation of regulations. So where a regulation that you have, say, fire alarms in every room kind of makes sense, but when you add on 10 other regulations, it becomes cost prohibitive. And this is something that, Jackie, you wanted to touch on about this sort of rezoning plan that they're working on here in our town, or technically it's a city, but it's basically a town.
It's a town.
And, you know, it's something that's probably happening in other state or other places as well, because I think the consultant said it's been 50 years since they've looked at the zoning here.
Yeah, so I guess the last time there was comprehensive zoning and land use regulation reform in Keene was about 50 years ago. It's now split up over 10 sections, and they're doing a complete like delete and replace, where they're just throwing out those 10 sections and putting in a whole new document. But I mean, that's for Keene specific. Just in general, we're talking about when they bring in zoning regulations or design standards, things like that. One thing that I find particularly concerning, and I brought it up at the meeting, and then again, we dropped in the next day for the open house. They want to put these out for the city council to vote on, but they're not doing anything to calculate what the potential cost to developers and building owners who are remodeling. And this is something we see with a lot of government regulations. At best, when they come out with a regulation, they may be required to do like a fiscal impact statement for the, you know, the federal budget or the state budget, whatever level for the government's budget.
Right.
But they almost never are required to do a impact statement on what it's going to cost business.
Right.
What
Here's
cost
what
the market.
This new regulation is going to cost the average person that lives in this jurisdiction.
Or what it's going to cost developers in this industry. And, you know, I know the federal government in some states have laws that whenever they pass a new law, they it has to go through, you know, an office and come out with a fiscal impact statement for the government budget. And I would like to see a movement to push for a similar thing to be required on what this is going to cost the private sector.
Right.
Because a lot of times you have people like on city councils who are doing this part-time, from average backgrounds, and I've said many times, the traits that make somebody a winning candidate are not necessarily the same traits that make someone a good legislator or
right.
a good governor in terms of, you know, overlapping on the Venn diagram. There's not a lot of overlap there. They're like, oh, yeah, that'll make downtown be pretty. And they'll vote for it, and they'll not realize that they just stifle development because whatever they voted for has a tremendous cost. And if they knew, oh, this is going to cost, this is going to add like 10% of the cost to building a building downtown, maybe they would have thought twice.
Or one of the new things that is in vogue in a lot of places is calling something a historical district and then requiring that the street-facing facade not change from how it's been for the last 100 years.
Oh, yeah. My mom is all about the historical districts. She's in Bellingham, Washington. She's a huge NIMBYist, not in my backyard, huge historical preservationist, and she's been at it for 20, 30 years, and now, surprise, Bellingham has a housing crisis, and it's like it's because of people like you, Mom, not letting them tear down these turn-of-the-century Victorian houses and replace them with apartment complexes.
Right. So let's explain what this historical site designation or historical district designation actually does. And you touched on it, and I kind of touched on it, but it requires this building has been here. It must stay in perpetuity because we have decreed that it is a vital part of this town or city or whatever. It cannot be torn down. It cannot be completely remodeled. The interior can be changed a little bit, but as we see it from the street, it must be exactly as it was.
And if you're
which
looking,
winds up yeah. increasing, you know, cost of renovations greatly, especially if it's using something that hasn't been, you know, commonly available in 75 years.
To the point where nobody's going to renovate it because it's too expensive to renovate, so then it just deteriorates.
Now one point that they did make at the zoning meeting is the least expensive, greenest building is the one that's already there. So they do want to discourage people just tearing things down and rebuilding. Like, if you think about it, you're usually going to end up spending more building a new building than renovating an old one, unless you make it ridiculously prohibitively expensive. But one of the problems when you're looking at downtowns or central areas around downtown is if you consider just the building capabilities of the time 100, 200 years ago, it's not a very efficient use of that land. It's a few stories high. It probably doesn't cover the whole lot. Like, there's a lot of problems there. My whole neighborhood that I grew up in Bellingham, it's right near downtown. It's not too far from the college. It would be a great one to just bulldoze all the houses there and build apartment complexes, but they're not allowed to do it because the whole neighborhood now has got some sort of historical, you know, preservation on it. And, yeah, it's a bunch of really pretty, 1900 ish era Victorian houses, but like sitting right next to downtown, that's that's not a good use of that land.
You know, a lot of these regulations, not only can they make things very expensive to do anything, whether you're doing a renovation or even if you're running a business, you run into the same thing. It makes it more expensive, but also makes it more complicated. And some people become overwhelmed with how complicated it is. And I think sometimes regulations, well-meaning regulations, chase out small businesses where they look at what it would entail to start a small business and they say, forget it, I'll just go be an employee for somebody else. Because it's really complicated. You know, as a small business owner, it was very hard for me to figure out what all the requirements were that I needed to comply with. Because
and there's not a central agency that you can go to that tells you, here are all of the forms you need to fill out.
Exactly, exactly. There's no, like, list for me to get because it's a bunch of agencies involved and you have to make everybody happy and it's not always obvious what you need to do. So there's this level of complexity that chases people out of small businesses, and I think a lot of lawmakers say, well, we're going to make corporations do X, Y, and Z, and they make it sound like they're coming down on the large corporations when the effect is...
They forget that mom-and-pop businesses incorporate for tax liability reasons.
They chase out small businesses, which advantages the large corporations by making all of these rules and regulations.
Yeah, the large corporations have entire legal compliance departments.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. We've got Robert calling in from Grand Rapids. Robert, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I got a little bit of a situation going on with a business I'm trying to sell.
Okay.
In the city of Wyoming, Michigan. It is a small ice cream shop that I've had for about 15 years.
Okay.
I've closed the business down. It's been about 4 years, so the place has not operated for 4 years. I'm trying to sell it. Got a real estate agent, and he's a very good one, and he found a potential client to purchase the building and the property. I own the property and the building.
Okay.
And the people that wanted to buy the property wanted to turn it into a locksmith company or a locksmith place. They submitted a business plan. They told them very upfront what they wanted to do with the property. They wanted to put another building, an additional building on the property, convert the ice cream shop into a locksmith shop, and do everything by the book. Whatever they submitted to the city, they submitted and did everything by the book, according to Wyoming's own regulations and standards. Wyoming... not to try to necessarily push the liability issue, but they are not a very business-friendly city. They flat out refused to allow them to purchase that property and use it for locksmithing. Their argument was, or their basic response was, it needs to be used as a like business, even though their own regulations state that they can do this, that, and the other thing, which this potential buyer wanted to do and did. And they were refused. So I'm stuck with this property.
Yeah, this is just government getting out of control.
And I'm confused as far as why anybody needs to submit a business plan to the city before they're allowed to purchase a building. Robert, I'm not sure if you've got more. If you do, hold the line. Otherwise, thank you for the call. Your calls and thoughts, welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Yeah, that just sounds like local bureaucrats run amok. This is Free Talk Live.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go with water filtration systems of every size for every budget. Now, GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.